Good morning, Delaware. I hope you're having a great day after Thanksgiving, just sitting around digesting and maybe going to watch some football or some other. I remember when I was a kid, it was a big day for cartoons on Friday.
Okay.
And they used to call it the day after Turkey Day on ABC. So it was cartoons all afternoon. So you could just sit there like a bloated, beached whale.
That's all you need to
do. Watching the cartoons.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And eating leftover cranberry sauce.
And mine, ever since I can really remember, has involved shopping somehow.
Yep. See, Black Friday was not a thing when I was like 10.
Yeah.
Either for me or my parents. My parents were the kind who would shop on Christmas Eve.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So.
Oh, no. I strive to be done like by Friday.
My dad actually had all the Christmas presents in the trunk of our car one year and the car got stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me so sad.
What happened, though, is we had an uncle who lived next door to us who had 9 kids. So what they did was they just split the toys between.
Okay, so minus one for Johnny, exactly. Minus one from Susie.
Precisely.
That's so mean.
That's Nicole feeling sorry for my sordid past. And on the phone, we have Hannah Simpson, who is the communications specialist for the library. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. We're going to talk about the Winter Reading Club. Yep. I almost said Summer Reading Club.
No.
I'm trying to jump ahead.
Wish.
Yeah, don't I, though. I don't want to go back, believe me. I want to go forward. And we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. But you have a great-looking book in front of you. Is this the one you've been talking about, like you were going to talk about?
So, no.
Nope? Okay.
I have a to-be-read pile on my, I have like a bench in my entryway, and I have a to-be-read pile on that bench that has about 15 books on it. And I'm starting to feel bad because some of the books are overdue. I know it's not a library thing to say, but some of the books are overdue. So I'm like, okay, I got to get through these. I got to get them back because other people, I'm sure, are waiting. So this book is a graphic novel. I would recommend it for middle schoolers, maybe even a hair older. It does have a little bit of heavy topics in it, but I think a middle schooler would understand what's going on here. It's called When Stars Are Scattered, and it's by Victoria Jameson and Omar Muhammad. And it's from the Newbery Honor winning creator of Roller Girl. So if you know the book Roller Girl, you'll have an idea of kind of maybe what this book is going to be about or look like or anything like that. But what it is it's a story of a refugee camp in Africa, a set of brothers, and they live in this refugee camp, and they've lived there for 7 years now. It's been a long time. They fled from, where did they flee from? Syria, I want to say. And they fled to this refugee camp, and their father has passed, and they got separated from their mother. Mm. And so ever since they made it there, they have kind of been taken under the wing of a local woman who lives in the tent right across from theirs. And so she's kind of considered herself their foster mother. But really, the older brother feels a very, very strong connection to his son to his younger brother. And the one thing that he can remember that his mom said was, you know, we're family. We got to take care of each other. And so he's really taken that to heart. So much so that there are kids in the refugee camp who are able to attend a local school. And he has chosen not to go to school because, you know, his brother is his full-time job. I don't have time for school. I need to take care of my brother. If we can make it through this and then get back to our home, then we can go ahead and resume our life, you know. But it gets to be more and more apparent that there are other people who are talking, who kind of are like representing the community, because this is a United Nations refugee camp. And so there are other people who are kind of talking around the community saying, like, what do you really need? We know there's not a lot of food. We know there's not a lot of water. But is there anything else that we can try to help you with? And so a man decides to tell Omar that the older brother, that he should give school a try. And so he leaves his younger brother, Hassan, with their foster mom, and he really, really enjoys school. And so while the subject seems really heavy, it's got a lot of really, really relatable ideas in it. Brothers and taking care of your family. the idea of monotony and how every day can get really boring. And haven't we all felt that this year, right? And so the idea of monotony and how really small things can break up that monotony. And so for Omar, it is going to school. For his younger brother, it is playing in what they call the clay molding area, which is just a dirt pit that has water in it sometimes. And yet they make bricks out of it and they pretend that they have a house. It's the special joy that they find in their holiday celebrations. So, for example, when Ramadan comes and what they can celebrate with that. And it's also just getting to see what you have when it feels like you have nothing. One of the things that Omar really, really discovers is that when he feels like he can't leave his brother because he is his brother's caretaker, there's a very outspoken young woman who is also in the camp, and she says to him, "What do you think we're here for?" She was like, "We will help." You know, she was like, "We stay back to make sure that our families are taken care of. Why wouldn't we also take care of your brother?" And so it really goes back to that, you know, takes a community to raise a child, takes a village to raise a child. Well, they're really like, we're your people. We're your village. And so it just really makes a lot of perspective. You know, you take a look at your perspective in what we've got going on this year. There's another thing that that Fatima, the woman who is his foster mother, says is she is like, you know, we're not as many people here are as blessed as we are. And he thinks about that for a second because he's like, how could I be blessed? I've been living in a refugee camp for 7 years. I don't know where my mother is. My father's passed. I'm starving every 14th day because that's the day before our next food ration comes. And he's like, how could I call myself blessed? And then when he looks around at the community around him, he's like, yeah, I guess I really am. So this is a heavier book, but middle schoolers will get it. They'll get it and they'll like it. So it's called When Stars Are Scattered. It's a graphic novel, really beautiful illustrations, really easy to read by Victoria Jameson and Omar Muhammad.
Great. Sounds very good.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, I know I don't even have to ask you, are you reading a book? What are you reading? Let's put it that way.
I just started Frederick Bachman's latest, Anxious People.
Yeah.
I love it. Frederick Bachman is a well-known Swedish author. His big claim to fame was originally A Man Called Ove.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also got the Beartown series.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his writing tends to have a lot of characters, and Anxious People is no exception. It starts with a bank robber who disappears into thin air, and it turns out that he has run out of the bank and up a flight of stairs to the first door he sees and into another open door, and it's an open house for an apartment that's for sale. And there are 8 people in the apartment, and so he's holding them hostage.
Oh.
And by the time the police get into the apartment, the hostages have been set free, and he's gone, and there's just a blood stain on the floor.
Ooh.
And what it comes down to is what happened in that apartment during the hostage situation. And because it's Frederick Bachman, it has a lot of quirky characters, and they find common ground in their own seemingly trivial lives. And it's quirky and it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's been described as a poignant comedy.
His books
not quite a dramedy.
They have like a Wes Anderson feel. They have that kind of like quirky, campy.
I would never have put, I do love Wes Anderson films. So that's a good way to describe it. I have not come up with that on my own. but they definitely, all Frederick Bachman novels also have, they really tug at your heartstrings with the relationships between the characters. For example, two of the police officers in Anxious People are father and son. And then the father never wanted his son to be a police officer. And the son can't understand why his dad didn't want him to be a police officer. And so it's got the generational thing. You know, the father takes a very serious thought into every key he clicks on his computer, and then he clicks it, and then he looks up the screen and makes sure, okay, that letter did appear after I hit
tab. Oh, no.
Things like that. So it's really... It's not set at Christmas or during the holidays, but at a time when we're all kind of have weird connections due to how long this year has been, it's kind of nice to read about these kind of deeper connections that you wouldn't think you would find.
That sounds cute.
That sounds great. Thank you. Okay, so I'm reading, or I actually just finished reading, a book called Answers in the Form of Questions, The Definitive History and Insider's Guide to Jeopardy.
Oh.
Written by Claire McNear. This is her first book. It was published this month, and the foreword was written by Ken Jennings. So it's just like what it sounds like. It's a real backstage guide to Jeopardy. And it starts with a little bit, but in my opinion, not enough about the original series that ran from 1964 to 1975. Talks about how the series came about after the quiz show scandals. There was the big, big scandal in the late 1950s over the original TV quiz shows because they were giving contestants the answers in order to build up the suspense and make people look good and to draw audiences in. And then when it got found out, there were congressional hearings. The FCC got involved. It was a real mess. And so, as it turned out, Merv Griffin, who was the talk show host, singer, Las Vegas entertainer, nightclub guy, he wanted to do a TV show, and he couldn't figure out a quiz show, and he couldn't figure out how to do it. And his wife said, "Well, if you're not allowed to give the answers under the table, why don't you just give them the answers, and then they'll have to make up the questions?"
Love it.
And that is how Jeopardy was born. The show, like I said, ran for 11 years the first time around. This one then jumps to Jeopardy today. And it starts with a national trivia convention in Las Vegas that draws thousands of people. And the Jeopardy producers were there looking for talent. And so it talks a little bit about this convention. Then it goes on to talk. There's a whole chapter on Alex Trebek. And there was a story in there that I'd never heard about him before, that when he got married in 1990, when the judge or the officiant said to him, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?" He said, "The answer is yes."
I bet his wife loved that.
It's interesting that there's a whole chapter in there about how some people train to get on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them do incredibly crazy things. Like somebody had flashcards that they made up on all the subjects that they could think of that were on Jeopardy. And they just ran through those flashcards constantly to keep reminders. People who make up, they'll wire their own Jeopardy podium so that they can play along with the show and see if they can beep in before the contestants on the show.
Nice.
People who create their own buzzers, because everybody talks about the buzzer, how you get in, and that's the real trick to the show. And so people go to all sorts of lengths. I practiced with a ballpoint pen.
Okay.
So it was really low tech. And so there's that. But then there's a whole chapter on how Jeopardy has sort of infiltrated pop culture. And it's funny because Weird Al's song, "I Lost on Jeopardy," which had the great video, and it actually was done before the new Jeopardy was actually on the boards. And it came out at the same time they were doing the pilot for the new Jeopardy, and it sort of gave them a nudge to go ahead because it became such a hit.
Nice.
That people wanted Jeopardy back.
Thanks, Weird Al.
And then Weird Al goes on Celebrity Jeopardy, and what happens? He lost at Jeopardy.
Oh, man.
There is some talk that he actually threw the game
because,
so that he could actually say, "I lost on Jeopardy."
Yes.
But there's also, you know, there's a whole episode of Cheers where Cliff Clavin is on is a contestant and blows it completely in Final Jeopardy. There's The Simpsons where Alex Trebek sends thugs to beat up Marge because she finished a negative and she hasn't paid the money yet.
Oh, no.
So there's, it's all of that kind of pop culture stuff. And then there's a whole thing on strategy and how you play the game, besides the training, but actually how you get in there and play it. There's lots of interesting sidebars. There's one sidebar about what people who have won on Jeopardy did with the money. And some people, you know, win a lot of money.
Yeah.
Brad Rutter just gave up everything, moved in Hollywood to try to become an actor. That didn't work out too well, but he's won $5 million on Jeopardy, so really, who the heck cares? And there talks about the alumni clubs, which I didn't even know about, and I am an alum.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
How rude.
But I'm an old-time alum, so it probably doesn't count. But it's one of the things I found out from this book, which I didn't know existed, is something called the J Archive, which is an online record of thousands of games.
Oh, I think I knew about this.
Oh, really?
I think I did, yeah.
So.
Sirens.
I think there was an emergency vehicle going by Hannah's place. Anyway, so it's just a fun book. There's also some speculation in there about who is going to succeed Alex, because when she was writing this, she knew Alex was sick, right. and he had actually said that this was going to be his last season. Mm-hmm. That he was going to retire after this season, even before he got sick. And so lots of speculation. I've always pulled hard for Ken Jennings, who has just been announced as the first guest host. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a guest host for the rest of this season, I guess, and then pick the permanent new host at the beginning of next season. But she said that the FCC regulations and the Jeopardy rules say that the host and nobody on the show can know or be friends with any of the contestants. Mm. Now, Ken Jennings has been hanging around these trivia conventions since they started.
Ooh,
and so this is this huge pool of potential contestants that he already knows. So there was some question about whether or not he could actually take the permanent role or not. But I think they could figure out a way around that.
Sure.
Anyway, so again, it's called Answers in the Form of Questions, The Definitive History and Insider's Guide to Jeopardy. It's by Claire McNear, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a good holiday time read because it doesn't get you tied up in knots about anything. It's just fun. So anyway, we will be right back after this, and we'll be talking about the Winter Reading Club with Hannah Simpson. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're here today with Nicole Fowles,
hello,
communications manager for the library, and Hannah Simpson, our communications specialist for the library. Hey, Hannah.
Well, hello.
We're going to talk a little bit now about the Winter Reading Club. Everybody knows the Summer Reading Club. We do that every year for both adults and kids. But the Winter Reading Club is basically the same idea, but just at a different time of year, correct?
It's a little bit easier. Yeah. Yeah, Hannah, why don't you take it away? You know a little bit about the Winter Reading Club.
Right. So Winter Reading Club is very easy to participate in. And let me tell you, the prizes are fantastic. You can ask for a bookmark anytime you swing by for curbside pickup, one will also be included in our quarterly newsletter, our winter newsletter, which should be out shortly, which will also come in all curbside pickup sessions, I guess is a good word to use.
Yeah.
And so what you need to do is anytime you participate in a library virtual program, or read a book, just write it down on one of the four slots on the bookmark, and then you turn it back into us, and you can choose which prize basket you would like your bookmark to go as an entry toward. We have four different age groups, and you don't have to be in the age group to put your bookmark towards that prize.
That's one of the fun parts about this one is that, you know, maybe you're a teen, but you're really jonesing for that elementary basket, or maybe you're a grandma and you are, you know, entering for your grandbaby to win that early pre-K basket. So it really doesn't matter. We don't judge what basket you want to win because we don't care.
So what are some of the prizes that are in these baskets?
You know, they vary every year. There's definitely some DCDL brand of swag usually in one or two of them. Books, unsurprisingly.
What?
Wow, the library is giving away books. What an idea. Next thing you know, grocery stores will be giving away food.
And every year they really vary.
Yeah,
so
I think
we're really excited to see. I think that this week is when they're wrapping up and they should be ready to go. Mm-hmm. Any day now.
I know. When we put our timeline together of, you know, kind of when we wanted all the Winter Reading Club things, you know, in hand and everything like that, we wanted to have the baskets ready by this week so that they could be on display. Little did we know, of course, that we would be going back to curbside again. Or did we know? I don't know. Everybody's like, you should have seen it coming. But I don't. I like to stay optimistic, okay? But yeah, we would have had the baskets on display this week. So we're going to get some snapshots of them whenever they're ready. I want to say that the adult baskets have gift cards in them. It just makes it easy for those difficult shoppers, mm-hmm. In case, you know, it's full of stuff you don't necessarily want.
So people can start reading anytime and just keep track of it and be ready to enter when the bookmarks come out?
Yeah. What are the formal dates of it, Hannah?
You can read or participate in programs from December 1st to January 31st?
Yeah. 30,
whatever the last day of January
31st,
is.
Yes.
So, yeah, anything that counts that. And then we'll pull prizes, the winning bookmarks, during that first week of February and get in contact with the winner.
Right. And I think that's something to be said. You can enter as often as you'd like. So since there are only four spaces on the bookmark that you'll fill out, you know, if you're an avid reader, or say you're say you are a pre-K, you know, reader who's participating, you know, you could read 5 picture books in a night. Well, if you fill out a bookmark every time, we're not going to judge you and we're not going to stop you. So
we actually want you to read as many books as you can. That's
exactly.
The whole point.
That is the point. Yeah. So we can keep giving you bookmarks every time you come back to curbside. We'll have them on our website. That'll be ready soon. You could even print them and have them at home. So it's going to be real easy for you. You can do it as often as you want this time.
Yep. This is one of the things that kills me when we do this curbside is, you know, I've spent 40 some years in this profession trying to get people to come into the library. Mm-hmm. And now all I want them to do is stay in the parking lot.
Yeah. Don't leave your car.
So it's a real change, mindset change for me. Yeah. So with this program now, this is for all ages. So, mm-hmm. Like you said, we've got the 4 different baskets for different ages, but anybody at any age can participate, right? And
that is correct.
That's also a nice thing. That's a lot simpler than the summer reading club when we've got the different things for kids and adults and all that stuff going on.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So. That was definitely one of the goals. The winter reading club is not brand new, but I mean, it's kind of new to the Delaware Library within the past, I don't know, what, 5 or so years?
It's been less than that. I think it started since I've been here, 3, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4, I would say.
And really the main thing is that we just wanted to keep it simple. Yeah. You know, we just wanted to keep people reading, make it nice and simple, make it simple on us too. Now, I will say the one thing that might throw a little like wrench in your plans is a lot of times with curbside, right? We don't really say, hand us your stuff. There are some folks in our library who might, you know, if you hand them like, okay, can you take this piece of paper for me? Some folks are comfortable with that, and that's great. But there are others who aren't. And so what do you do with the bookmarks whenever you come to drive through or you come through curbside? What I'm going to say is we're still working on it. we might have a basket for you to put it in. So they'll just walk to your car, and when they hand you your books or put your books in your trunk, they might just have the basket and you can just drop it in there. They might have a little baggie. They might have 4 different baggies. And so if you're turning in, you know, a bookmark that you want in the adult basket entry, if you're turning in a bookmark that you want in the pre-K, you know, you have a representative of every reader in your household. They might have 4 different baggies, and they'll kind of, you know, bring out all 4 bags for you to put them in. It might even be something that our folks ask you whenever you come to do your curbside pickup. They might say, do you have a winter reading club bookmark for us today? And then they'll have that ready for you when they come out. So, yeah, that's one of those last little things that we were like, oh, we didn't really see that coming.
I tell you, if we'd seen this year coming, we probably would have found a way to be like put into suspended animation.
Training. Yeah.
This is a year we will not be happy to, we will not be sad to see in the rearview mirror.
Goodbye.
So, anyway, speaking of, though, you said that it's not just reading, but it's attending some of our events.
Yeah.
Which you need to do virtually, but we do still have some virtual events coming up this week. So.
Yeah. Hannah, do you have those in front of you?
Yes, one. I have to pull them back up. My apologies.
That's all right.
We're like, let's go record radio and not bring anything with us this morning. It's because of the turkey coma.
Right? That's right. Yeah, that's it. The tryptophan will do you in every time. I'm suffering from cranberry overdose.
Well, I believe you guys talked about this last week as well, but we are accepting thank you cards for our homebound patrons. Just thinking of you, just general merriment. Doesn't necessarily have to be holiday. Doesn't necessarily not have to be holiday. We just have a lot of our users who can't leave their home, and our wonderful outreach department visits them safely, of course. And so this is just to spread a little cheer from one library friend to another. These cards should have just a pleasant message. And be dropped off at the library. They should not be in envelopes, though. That is one thing. We would prefer that they're not in envelopes, but if they are, if you feel like you need an envelope, please don't steal those.
Right.
Right.
And I think another thing to kind of mention is we're not collecting blank cards. We want you to actually write in them. Write a little message to, you know, a friend who you haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. Write a little message and say, hey, library user, thinking of you this holiday season. You know, draw a picture, add a little fun flair in it. We're not collecting blank cards. We want the message in them. And right. then we're going to quarantine them. And then we're going to deliver them to those library users. And like I said, your friends you haven't met yet.
So. Exactly. Yep. And then we have a few. Oh, I'm sorry, George, did you have another thought on the card?
No, go ahead, Hannah, jump in.
We have a couple story times coming up, which is always fun for your little ones. On Monday, November 30th, we will have a baby time. So those are for your littlest ones, I'd say under two. And these are songs and rhymes, and so grab those babies, put them on your lap, and Miss Julie from the Powell Branch Library will walk you through some great early literacy skills, because it's never too early to start learning how to read.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would say go ahead and check out our DelawareLibrary.org website. Click on the events tab. You'll see all those virtual programs that we've got going on there. Get your books ready to start reading. We are open for curbside. We will be closed. No, we actually already had our closure because Thanksgiving's come and gone.
Yes,
so,
yep. We don't have to worry about anything now until the Christmas holidays.
Exactly. So we're open.
Yep.
But just curbside.
Yeah. But don't forget, too, all of our electronic services are still there. All of our phone services, chat, all of those things are still available. So feel free to use those. And yes, reading an ebook counts as reading a book.
Sure
don't worry about it. You know, that's all part of what we offer and part of the whole reading environment these days. So,
all right.
So anyway, I want to again, as always, thank the Friends of the Library for their sponsorship of the show. And I want to I got to thank somebody else too. Tomorrow is Joyce and Mai's wedding anniversary. Oh. And I just want to say, aww, happy anniversary, hon. It's a it's been a fun adventure. Maybe not this year as much, but other years. Future years will be better. So thank you. So we thank you very much. And thank you, Nicole.
Always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving.
And thank you very much, Hannah, for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you in the parking lot. Take care.